Morning, church. Morning to the visitors here this morning, too. We just praise God that we can assemble here before Him, and need to keep Pastor Doug in mind, and he's going to be traveling back, and so keep him in your prayers. We'll be talking about transformation this morning. I'd like to share with you a little story about a miraculous transformation that took place in a large city where an Amish boy and his father were visiting a store that had an elevator. The boy and his father were amazed by almost everything they saw in the store, but especially by two shiny silver walls that could move apart and back together again. The boy asked his father, "What is that, father?" The father responded, "Son, I've never seen anything like that in my whole life. I don't know what it is." While the boy and his father were watching in curiosity, they saw an old gray-haired lady in a wheelchair. She rolled up to the moving silver walls and pressed a button. The silver walls opened and the lady rolled in between the silver walls into a small room. The silver walls closed and the boy and his father watched as small circles of numbers with lights with little numbers on them began to light up. As the boy and his father continued to watch, they noticed that the circles of light now lit up in the reverse direction. The silver walls opened up, and out came a beautiful 20-year-old woman who smiled at the father and son as she began to walk away. The Amish father looked at the young girl, then back at the silver walls, looked at his son and said, "Go find your mother." The title for our message this morning is "Be Ye Transformed." But the elevator transformation of an old woman into a young woman is not exactly what God has in mind for us Christians. God's desire is that the natural sin life that dwells within all of us Christians, the natural sin life that we inherited from Adam through his fall in the Garden of Eden, that this sin life be transformed into a new spiritual life that honors God and respects His authority over us. The highest goal that God has for each of us Christians in our spiritual transformation from the image of a rebellious sinner to a new image, the image or character of Christ and His holiness, is this spiritual transformation that I'm going to be discussing with you this morning. But first, let's pray. Father, we just come to you now. We just ask that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts this morning, that you would open our eyes to your word, and that we would hear what you're trying to say to us in the Holy Scriptures. Lord, that the words would not just pass over and be gone from us, but that we would meditate on them and think about them and put them in our heart where they need to be, that we might become strong, that we would look at this transformation that you want to take place in our life in a new light, that we might get serious about it, and that we might come to you for help. We pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If we could put the verses on this morning that we had for our call to worship, that's what we're looking for, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Christians, it is God's desire that all of us separate ourselves from the sinful pleasure of this world, that is the natural life that has been in us, and then we totally commit our bodies and our minds at all costs to Jesus Christ, who has saved us from all of our sins through His death on the cross. in regards to our commitment to Christ. How many of us here this morning pay any attention to the fact that our body truly is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God? And that we are not our own. According to 1 Corinthians 16, verses 19 to 20, our bodies have been purchased by God. And that purchase price that was paid for our bodies was Jesus Christ shedding His precious blood on the cross for all of our sins. Listeners, God's Word here states in Romans 12, 1, that it is our reasonable service that we sacrifice the worldly desires of our body as a living sacrifice to God. Jesus sacrificed Himself to the Father. Now we have opportunity to sacrifice ourselves to Christ through our transformation from our old natural life to our new spiritual life. So what is God's part and what is our part in the transformation of us Christians from the natural life to the spiritual life? God's part in the transformation of the natural life to the spiritual life is that God gave us a brand new nature at the time of our salvation experience. The Bible states in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Not that he's becoming a new creature, but that he is a new creature. The new creature or the new nature of Jesus Christ Himself now dwells within you if you have become a saved Christian. In addition, God does His part in allowing the Holy Spirit to assist us and to help us in this transformation each and every day of our life. Our part in our spiritual transformation is to begin to work out or to manifest or to show to others the new nature that God has put into us, the holiness of Christ Himself that God put in there when we got saved. In Romans 12, 2 here, please notice that Paul states that our part in the spiritual transformation from the natural life to the spiritual life is to no longer be conformed to this world, but that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Please note carefully that Apostle Paul says that our transformation is accomplished by what? The renewing of our mind. Christians, God does not renew our minds. As many Christians would like to believe, God does not renew our minds. It is for this very reason that there are so many worldly Christians in our churches and in the world today. We Christians get caught up in worldly sin because we are stubborn and refuse to discipline the mental and moral and physical aspects of our lives. Many Christians can think that they can just lay back and that God will supernaturally change our lives. Many think that they don't have to have any part or lift a finger whatsoever in this supernatural transformation that is to take place in our lives. This is all a lie from Satan. You see, if God Himself were to supernaturally renew our minds, then Apostle Paul would not be asking us Christians here to take this renewal of our mind actions here in Romans 12, 2. If it were God's job to renew our minds, then He would supernaturally do it, and we would be instantly transformed into complete holiness. But that is not how it works. It is our job as Christians to renew our minds in conjunction with the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit of Christ, who now dwells within all of us true Christians. Now, please notice here also in verse 2 of Romans 12, that when the whole life begins to change from the natural to the holiness of Christ, that the perfect will of God is being fulfilled. It says His perfect will is completed here. And now, let's bring up 1 Peter chapter 1 here. Good. Apostle Paul reinforces Apostle Peter reinforces the statements that have been made by Apostle Paul in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Look what Peter says here. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, that's your daily living. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. What does Peter mean when he says, gird up the loins of your mind? Well, when men went to battle in Peter's day, they girded up their robes. That is, they pulled their robes up to their loins and tucked them, the material, under their belts so that they could fight in the battle unhindered by their long robes. Peter also states here in verse 13 to be sober or serious. What is Peter telling us? Peter is telling us Christians to get serious about your thought life, to be watchful about what we think in our minds. Now, if you could bring up Proverbs 23, verse 7. Look at that verse. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Listeners, we Christians are what we think in our hearts. I'm going to move this before I knock it over. I like to move. You see, our thought life controls our mouth and our bodily behaviors. If we put garbage into our minds, we're going to get garbage out. If we put garbage into our minds, our actions are going to be garbage as well. When we fill our minds with unhealthy movies, TV programs, various forms of pornography, unhealthy music and the like, how can we expect that we will think and behave any different than what the world thinks and behaves? Both apostles, Paul and Peter, exhort us to not be like the world, but to do our part to become transformed into holiness and Christ-likeness by the renewing of our minds. Now, if we could bring up Ephesians 4, please. Apostle Paul gives some more instruction to us Christians here. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, that is our former life, the old man, that is our old sinful nature, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, the new nature, the new image of Christ-likeness, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Please notice here once again, Apostle Paul instructs us Christians to be renewed in the spirit of our mind and to put on the Christ-like nature that God put within all true Christians at the time of our salvation experience. So what is wrong with our human minds that they need to be renewed? The problem with our minds is they are fallen minds. That is, our human minds have the mindset that is set on being hostile and to the authority of God over us. That was our old life. That's how we thought. The natural attitude of our mind then and our fallen mind is, I'll do it my way. We don't want to die to self. We want to live the way we want to live. I'll do what I want to do. When true mind renewal begins to occur in a Christian's life, the attitude changes. It becomes, I'll do it God's way, or not at all. You see, we all need to start living our lives God's way rather than our way. So how does Satan make us sin? He doesn't. Satan does not make us sin. The only power that Satan has over us as humans is the power of suggestion. We alone cause ourselves to sin when we begin to meditate on Satan's evil suggestions to our minds. The impure and evil thoughts that we first receive from Satan are not sin. The impure and evil thoughts we receive from Satan become sin when we take a second look at them or begin to meditate on those thoughts, or when we deliberately take action and make those thoughts become active in our behavior. If we could bring up 2 Corinthians now, chapter 10. Apostle Paul tells us the following in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And get a hold of this. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Many Christians today live worldly lives because they are still captive to life addiction problems, which are also called strongholds. My wife and I worked as missionaries for 5-6 years with troubled men and women that had life addiction problems, especially alcohol and drugs. During that time, we worked with several men and women, and we always found out that these strongholds that Satan has in your life were caused by one thing: their thought life. What they think. And I'm going to speak a little bit more about that in a moment, but it's important for us to know that the addiction problems that we have in our life can be overcome right here. You see, there's only one way that Satan can get to you this morning. Only one way, and that's right here, through your mind. That's what he likes to attack. Is our minds. Many Christians live worldly today because they are haphazard about bringing their thought life into captivity to the obedience of Christ's words. Many Christians live worldly today because they will not make an effort to memorize Holy Scripture so that they have something to fight back with when Satan attacks them with evil suggestions to their minds. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11, Jesus gave us an example of how to defeat all of Satan's temptations to his mind by what? Quoting Scripture back to Satan. If we don't have any Scripture in our minds, how are we going to defeat him? How are we going to come against him? The Holy Spirit has nothing to work with when we are brought into temptation if we haven't memorized Scripture in our minds for him to use. The truth is that we all need to get more control of our thought life if we ever want to see a greater transformation from our old nature to the holiness and character of Christ in our lives. We must all begin sifting our thoughts on not just one time, but on a moment-to-moment basis, each and every day of our life. Let's bring up Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 now. This is what I call the sifting verse the Apostle Paul gave us. This verse needs to be memorized by every single Christian, because it is the verse that's going to help you clean up your thought life. This verse here says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. A principle given to us here by Apostle Paul is quite simple. Practice bringing each and every thought captive in your mind And if the thought in your mind doesn't measure up to the kind of thought that God wants us Christians to think, as described here in Philippians 4:8, then we are to discard that thought from our mind and replace it with a good thought. Is that thought you're having this morning a true thought? Is it an honest thought? Is it a just thought? Is it a pure thought? Is it lovely? Is it of good report? Is there virtue in it? Is there praise in it? Is it going to lift up somebody? Is it going to encourage somebody? Is it going to help somebody else? If not, get rid of it. Throw it out and replace it with a good thought. You see, God's grace will never fail us in our transformation. We fail in our transformation and fall into sin because we've refused to practice renewing our thought life on a moment-by-moment basis in our daily lives. You see, we Christians have an advantage over Satan because it is absolutely impossible for us humans to think two thoughts at the same time. You cannot have a good thought in your mind and a bad thought in your mind at the very same time. So we must learn to screen our thoughts, toss out the bad thoughts, and replace the bad thoughts with good thoughts. You see, getting control of our thought life is an absolute necessity if we ever want to overcome the strongholds or life addiction problems that we have allowed Satan to set up in our life. Let me explain to you an addiction, how this cycle works. You see, we get a thought into our mind. Satan dangles it there on a hook, like a little piece of bait, you know. And we start nibbling at it. We play with it. This is called mind sin, when we're nibbling at it in our minds. And then what happens? We grab it. And the thought becomes an action. And then after the action happens, what happens then? Here comes the guilt. And then what happens? The cycle repeats itself. I was an alcoholic and a drunk. For over 20-some years of my life, I couldn't break the habit. I couldn't get out of it. On 8-1 of 81, which I have a birthday coming up here, I had my last drink of alcohol. I came to Jesus Christ and found that He can bring you out of life addiction problems. God's used me with that to help other people. That's just my example. But you've got something in your life that you have overcome. And God's going to put you with people that were just like you so that you can help them to come out of their problems. It's important that we learn to know and to think about the life-changing things that Christ has done in our lives so that we can help others. We must all learn to change our thinking habits. We must learn to replace every thought, bad thought, with a good thought. So are you beginning to see where the Christian battle takes place? You heard the song, Onward Christian Soldiers, and the other songs out there that fight talk about battle. The battle's not with our hands. It's not with swords and guns and these kinds of things. The battle's right here. It's in our mind. It's in our thought life. It's trying to learn to overcome those things that Satan is trying to drag you off in. He's trying to break up your marriages. He's trying to break up your homes. He tries to get you thinking things that you ought not be thinking. And if he can do that and you fall into that addiction cycle, it's all over. There's only one place that you can break that addiction cycle. That's when the thought comes in. You got to get it before you start nibbling on the bait, before you swallow the hook. As soon as that thought gets in there, we need to think, where's this thought going to take me if I let it have its reign? And then we need to capture that thought. What are some of the dangers of neglecting our thought life? and pondering on the evil thoughts and imaginations that Satan suggests to our minds. According to the Holy Bible, backsliding from God involves our thought life. In Proverbs 14:14, we read, "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways." When we ponder evil thoughts, we separate ourselves from the Holy Spirit of God. We actually quench the suggestions that he is trying to give to us, and in turn, we take on the suggestions that Satan puts in our mind and as we meditate on them. This leads us to backslide away from God and follow who? The evil one. Two, according to the Holy Bible, pondering negative thoughts will cause us to sin against God. An example of this is when King David noticed a lovely woman bathing out there on the roof. King David began pondering her beauty. Then he called for her. And then he committed adultery with her. It all began with a suggestion, a thought that came from Satan into David's mind. He pondered upon that suggestion and didn't cast it down with the word of God, which states, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." What happened? Instead, King David called the woman, gave in to the thought, and then took the woman Bathsheba for his own sinful action. You will find that the consequences for King David's pondering that one suggestive thought became overwhelming. If you study the book of 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12, you will see that David encountered a lot of heartache in his life because of that incident that happened. It involved murder, it involved the actual act itself, and plus his children got and had consequences into their life, all because of one suggestion that Satan brought to David's mind, and he allowed it to happen. A third thing, a third danger, is according to the Holy Bible, our sinful actions can hinder our Christian prayer life. In Psalm 66, verse 18, we read, "If I regard iniquity or sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." This should be a wake-up call to us Christians, because part of our mission here on this earth is to the what I call the mission of the interior, is to make intercession to God in prayer for others. When we have unconfessed sin in our life, God will not hear and act upon our prayers until we confess and repent to him of the unconfessed sin that's within us. In summarizing here this morning, I believe that there are at least three things that all of us Christians should do in cooperation with the Holy Spirit of Christ to help transform us into the image of holiness and Christ-likeness that God himself wants us to have. First, we Christians should be willing to surrender our will to Christ's will. Jesus said in Luke chapter 14, verse 26, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Jesus wants us Christians to put our personal relationship with him first in our life. Let me ask you a question this morning. Have you made Jesus Christ the master of your life? Who controls your life today? You or Jesus Christ? It is important to know that Jesus was not the master of his own life. He made his Father the master of his life and was obedient to his Father even up to his death on the cross. God expects that we will make Jesus the master of our life and that we will follow him in obedience, that we will sacrifice our will to him, and that we will separate ourselves from the world through the renewing of our minds. Secondly, we Christians should be willing to study our Holy Bible and memorize Holy Scripture. I'm going to give you a good example of this. When I counseled men, I like to use this. is the book of Proverbs. There are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. And there's 31 days in most of the months of the year. So on the first day of the month, read the first chapter. Second day of the month, second chapter, etc., etc. The important thing is, though, when you're doing this, is to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to show you what you need to see in that book. Help Him to point out the weaknesses in your life so that you can see them. Most people, when they read the Bible, they try to absorb everything. Let's take chapter 1 of the book of Proverbs, for example. Let's say you're reading it today. And you're trying to absorb everything that's on them pages in that chapter. That's not how God wants it to work. If you pray beforehand, something on that chapter is going to pop off the page to you. Something is going to be lifted up that's going to be a little like in bolder print in your mind than is the rest of those words in there. That's what God wants you to focus on that day. And not just in Proverbs, but in other parts of the Bible. That's what He wants you to meditate on and think about, because 9 chances out of 10 it's going to have to do with some sin in your life. And that's what God wants us to do, is to take and memorize that verse, to put it in our heart, and to know it. So that when Satan comes at us, we have something to work with and to come back at him with. In Psalm 119, verse 11, the psalmist calls this action hiding God's word in our hearts so that we will not sin against him. Thirdly, we Christians should be willing to make a concentrated effort to control our thought life. We should all begin the actual practice of capturing our thoughts on a moment-by-moment basis and ask ourselves, where will this thought take me if I let it go in my life? If the thought is a harmful thought, then we need to discard it and replace it with a good thought, as we've said so many times here this morning. And finally, we Christians should all be willing to intensify our concentration on our relationship with Christ. What do I mean by that? Have you ever given thought to the intensity of concentration of studies that is required for a student to become a doctor, a lawyer, or an engineer? Think of the intensity of study that your pastor is going through right now trying to get his doctor of ministry. But how many of us Christians concentrate our minds with that kind of intensity on our relationship with Jesus and on our prayer life and on the cross of Christ on a daily basis? Christian, when you finally decide to make Jesus Christ the master of your life, you will find out for yourself what that hymn meant that we sang this morning. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, and what will happen? The things of the world will grow strangely dim. My prayer this morning is that all of us Christians present here today will begin to make an intensified effort at capturing our thought life and bringing it in obedience to God's word. Then and only then will we begin to fulfill God's will for our life. Then and only then will we become more effective in sharing the gospel of Christ. Why? Because the unsaved world will begin to see the holiness of Jesus Christ Himself in you when you begin to share your testimony with them or the gospel of Christ itself. If there's someone here this morning, and you're not sure that all of your sins are forgiven, or if you're not sure that you are a true Christian, then I ask you to consider the words of Jesus Christ Himself. He said, repent and believe the gospel. Two things. What's repent mean? Repent means to change your mind. Repent means to turn away from this world out here and turn to Christ. I'm tired of living that old life. I don't want to be that drunk no more. I want to be a new person. And you go to Christ in tears and you tell Him. You're sincere in your heart. You're serious. You're sober in your mind. And then you believe the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is very simple. The gospel, word gospel means good news. What is the good news? The good news is that Jesus Christ died on the cross to cleanse all of us sinners from our sin. Jesus' last words on the cross were, "It is finished." It's not something that's going to happen in you. It's a done deal. Jesus Christ already purchased your salvation. You are already cleansed from your sins. You are already forgiven for everything that you have ever done in your whole life. The problem is do you believe that this morning? If you do, if you have come to Him in repentance, then you are a saved Christian. You are on your way to heaven. And it's important that if you haven't done that, then you come to Him sincerely. I could pray a prayer with you right now, but I'm not going to go do that. Why? Because you need to do it. You need to come to Him with your heart open if you're not a Christian this morning. And come to Him boldly and tell Him, "I'm a sinner in need of salvation." And then, and only then, will Christ receive you to Him. Thank you, church, for allowing me the opportunity to share the Word of God with you this morning. And may the blessings and peace of Jesus Christ go with each and every one of you, not only throughout this day, but throughout your Christian life. Thank you once again. May God bless you all.